Hi there, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and today's show is on overcoming grief, really getting to a place beyond it, where you're back in light and love. So that's our intention, to be able to overcome and transcend grief, not bypass it, but overcome and transcend it. And we're going to be talking about a lot of sound techniques for dealing with it. I'll tell you about it later. Before we get into it, though, let me tell you about some things happening at the Institute. We've got an open house coming up on, not for a while, actually, not until the middle of March. It's March 18th. Yeah, March 18th, I think. And then, March 18th. And then we'll probably have a meetup before then where we do a Crystal Bowl concert. We might actually do it next week, but we haven't scheduled it yet. We also have our semester just started in sound healing and therapy. The certificate and the associate's degree just started this last week. You could still jump in if you wanted to make it. At the Institute, it's Monday through Wednesday nights and some weekends. And of course, it's all about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we've got 12 different instructors, so you get a wide perspective on everything from a lot of voice work, also work on tuning forks, work with crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls. We've got a ton of instruments at the school you get to play with as well. We also talk about methods of healing and aspects and different frameworks for consciousness and how to raise consciousness and get high and connected and more one with the universe, right? So that's happening online. You can also, at the Institute, you can also sign up online. Our next start time is February 3rd. And that's Tuesday and Thursday nights and then Saturday mornings. And if you can't make it, you can always watch the videos, or you can watch the videos for the whole program as well. And it's with mostly the same instructors, and it's really profound. It works really well. If you can't make it here, it works really well. And so, and that goes right into the degree program if you want to continue. We also have the audio recording program that just started this week as well. You could start that. That's this week. That's Wednesday and Thursdays, Wednesday afternoons and Thursday afternoons and evenings. And it's about how to run a digital audio workstation, record, mix, produce, and do MIDI work with keyboards and stuff. And it's really about how to use the equipment, recording equipment and musical equipment to get people really high and in a really deep way as well. So even if you know about recording, it's a very cool class. And again, that's at the Institute, started last week, but you could jump in. And then we've got the classes online starting in February. And that works really well if you're, because you can see my screen and you can hear what I'm mixing as well. So that's one day a week, and then labs like for 5 or 6 hours each week. So those are the upcoming classes. We also have our summer intensive, which is, I think it starts like June 6th or so. Let's see, let me double check that. No, it's actually June. Oh, no, I don't have it here. I think it is around June 6th or 9th. And it's for 10 days in June, and then it's also 10 days in August for the second half of the certificate program. You could just come for the first half, though. You don't have to come for both halves unless you want to get the certificate, right? And you can also do the second half online, so because the first half are the classes that are best done here. So you could come for the first half, and it's 10 to 9:30 every day, and it's actually very intensive, but it's powerful because you get really deep and you don't come back. You know, you get in the zone and you stay in the zone for 10 days each time. Let's see, I think I've got the date, actual date. So, yeah, June 6th to the 17th and August 4th to the 14th, if you want to do the whole certificate, or just June 6th to the 17th for the first half. So that's happening. We also have our yearly Mount Shasta retreat, which is July 20th and 21st in Mount Shasta. Actually, we go into Monday. We go up on the mountain on the 22nd. It's at Stewart Mineral Springs, and you can find that info online, everything at soundhealingcenter.com if you wanted to sign up. We also have, what else? Oh, we've got, we're also planning another intensive in May, which is going to be our second semester intensive, but people can still take those classes individually if you want to just take part of that. You don't have to have taken the first semester for most of the classes. And that will be posted here in about a week. So if you want to come in May, you could as well. So those are the main, that's the other one I was thinking of, is we've got the Sound Healing Conference, the just about annual Sound Healing Conference that we're planning for the end of September of this year. And we'll have some info posted in about 2 weeks for that. If you want to come for 3 or 4 days. And we've got all types of presenters. We've got music. We've got some booths with some really interesting technologies and instruments and such. So that will be coming up as well. We also have our Sound Therapy Center where we do treatments. We do voice analysis online. We also do a treatment or assessment where we find your home note and then give you a CD in the note that's missing. We can also do a chakra treatment at the Institute. We do all that, but we also do a whole combo treatment, and we also do a chakra treatment, and we do a massage on the sound table as well, which is profound. We also have our store. Besides doing the voice analysis treatments, we also sell a voice analysis software. And it's like $888, and it's really effective for finding out what frequencies are missing that are tied to different issues. And then you can listen to a CD and tone in the notes that are missing, and it will balance it out and break up whatever you have going on normally. And then we've also got our sound tables and sound lounges. We're doing a lot of work with the VA now. And in fact, one of the guys that's using the sound lounge for the VA, he just got promoted to helping develop treatments for the whole nation in VA, because he was able to, with like a half a dozen people already, he's been able to get them off their meds, as many as 15 meds. They're completely off and back to normal after a month and a half on the sound lounge. And it's just so effective. We're also working with autism. We're working with ADD and sleep and pain management. We have Kaiser Hospitals referring their patients to us for pain and anxiety. So things are really starting to transform in the field. You know, we're getting into the mainstream more and more and more. So you can find all of the stuff in the store, including our whole range of crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, and technologies at soundoflove.com. The therapy center is soundtherapycenter.com. But you can find it all at soundhealingcenter.com, which is our main site, soundhealingcenter.com. Or you can call me, 415-777-2486, or email me, david@soundhealingcenter.com. So we just had in the second semester, we just had another class. We've been doing this for about 8 years. We had a class where all of the students design treatments for grief. And then we all share them and talk about the best treatment for grief. So over 8 years, we've developed a pretty amazing treatment plan. We've done this for also for depression and sleep and anxiety, even for schizophrenia. And it's really interesting what people come up with. I mean, it's like I've got like a really good perspective from a wide range of student creative minds, right? So I wanted to share what we've come up with and do a little sound work as well, because grief's a big one. It's probably one of the main ones as a human being that we have to deal with. And it can be as small as losing your wallet or losing your keys, or as big as a relationship breakup or a death of someone that's really close to you. And it's really not an easy one. It's really not an easy one. It seems like there's two ways to go when dealing with grief, depending on where people are at. And this is what I've learned from all these treatments that the students have come up with. There's, you know, multiple stages that different people talk about. In fact, I've actually got them here. Oh, here it is. So the stages include, four of them are denial, anger, depression, and acceptance, right? But, you know, when it comes to grief, is really, there's the two main areas are not grieving, where you're not feeling anything at all, or just bypassing it because you got to go to work or you don't know how to really grieve. And then there's the second stage, which is really, I haven't figured out the perfect term for this. I would say getting over it or getting above it. I have to be careful with that because it can bubble up again at later times. But really getting to a place where you're okay with it. And there's two different types of treatments that we've come up with based on those two different stages of grief. If someone's not grieving at all, it's all about getting them into the sadness so they can really feel that loss. Because if they can't feel anything, if they just bypass it, people get completely frozen where they can't feel anything else either. That's the thing with emotions. If you shut them down, you shut them all down, right? So that first stage is really important. On the other hand, there are people that have that first stage down perfectly. There was a woman in my class years ago, and she said, yeah, my husband died a year ago, and I cry every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And I'm like, whoa, you've got the grieving process down. I mean, you have no trouble feeling the grief, right? Now it's time to get to the next stage where it's not affecting your life. That next stage, I think of as three or so different aspects. One is it's okay. It's okay. It's the wheel of life. It's really just fine. And I'll explain a good way to get to that one here in just a second. Another one is thank you, gratitude, right? Thank you for that. You know, it's interesting. Let's talk about the thank you, and then we'll come back to maybe I'll go the other way. Let's start with not grieving at all, and then we'll get back to getting above it. Okay. When you're not grieving, that means you're often not feeling anything, and you may not even be in your body completely. So a lot of the treatments in that respect are about getting you back in your body and getting you into your emotions. We actually came up with a whole list of, before we get into it, there's a whole list of questions to ask people that you might consider yourself if you're grieving, right? And that is, are you suppressing your grief? Is it showing up in your body, mind, and emotions? Any of them? Why are you grieving? What kind of, someone said, what kind of hole did they leave? Was it someone very close or more distant? Have you ever been able to express it in any form? On a scale of 1 to 10, how stressful is it? How is your grief today on a 1 to 10? Have you had moments of grief where it wasn't stressful at all? Do you have support, and what have you done to work with it? Do you have someone to talk to? Are you grieving, expressing it, crying? Are you grieving? We're not feeling anything. In what ways do you grieve? Do you feel release and connection afterwards? Have you allowed yourself time and space to sit with the emotions? Are you doing anything to help with the process? Do you meditate or have a spiritual practice? Are you ready to find peace, resolution, solution, release? When was the last time you experienced happiness? Anything has worked? What are you looking forward to? Are you sleeping? Is it interrupting your life? Are you self-medicating or taking anything for the pain? Okay. So for someone that is not grieving, you could actually use some pretty powerful instruments. I often think of it, there's two ways you can go with sound healing. Activation or calming. Activation would be more gongs, even Tibetan bowls and crystal bowls. Could be drumming, right? Calming is more about, it could be also be crystal bowls, but it's often toning. It's often, more mellow instruments. I mean, it could be, Tibetan bowls with a soft mallet. It could even be used a tuning fork to get people back in the body. So you could actually, for getting them in the body, you could actually play a big drum over them. You could actually get them to play the drum, because also getting them moving and actually playing an instrument is really very cool. Some of the students recommended nature sounds and bird sounds and a lot of sounds of waves. Or you can do a nice ooh and overtoning to bring them back to center. They also talked about tapping to get them in their body, EFT, which is actually a rhythm of theta. What I would do is lead them into the sadness. So I would imagine how I felt around grief. And I would play a bowl and tone the energy of the grief. So it would be kind of like this. can even go into more deep sadness. Or wailing. Of course, it can't be corny. It's got to be real, you know, so that you're really led into that place. And you're just honoring that grief of loss of a human being. Because we're all connected. Ideally, it's best to get to a place where you're whole on your own, as we'll talk about in a bit, and you're not affected so much by someone else's leaving. But we're human. Of course, we're human. And so it's, you know, there's going to be some. It's like, it's just natural. So you can also, a lot of people recommended singing the energy of love to the person. Oh, this was one interesting. This one had a lot of water sounds. And she said, like a guided meditation, see all their grief in front of them and have them see all their grief in front of them and let it wash down through the body like a river and out the body. Tune into their heart. See all the grief leave. Gratitude and release. But this is leaving. If they're not feeling, I really want to get them to really feel. So sad song, minor keys, you know, just anything where you're tuning into that sadness and honoring it, because you really want them to feel it. The key is also to let people know right in this moment, feeling sad and grieving does not have to feel bad. I remember when my kitty cat died, my previous kitty cat, a while back. I canceled class for a few days, and I just was sad. I let myself be sad. I did not resist grief at all. I cried, you know, and I thought about all the beautiful things that my kitty brought me, but I did not play anything to try to get me out of that sadness. In fact, I played sad music to help me really be in it. And then I remember going to the grocery store and thinking, I was so in my body. And I felt like everybody was running around with their heads cut off. And I was really grounded because I was not fighting the grief. I was just being in it. So I think it's really critical to allow yourself days, depending on the situation. I mean, if it's someone really close, it could be a week or two, right? To really allow yourself to be in the sadness and to actually invite it, to actually play music and do things to help bring you into that sadness, right? Because again, sadness and tears, if you're not resisting it, it feels really good. I love crying. It feels really good. You can do the grief where you're stressed out, but if you just let it be, it can actually feel good. It's not like you're happy, right? But at least you're it's like this warm, it's like a sad song. We love sad songs, right? So that's the first half, is to really get into the sadness and allow yourself to grieve. I mean, even psychotherapists talk about this. This is critical. It's like, I remember when it was on the news, when there was a major catastrophe, they were saying, you know, don't tell people just to get over it. You know, let them be in their grief. I mean, some cultures, they allow a year for the grief, right? And here's the big problem is someone that says, oh, I got to go back to work. I'll get fired. There's a big deal going on. Your mom just died. That's our society. It's just screwed up in that we aren't allowed time to grieve. Okay. So that's the first stage. Getting them into grieving, including yourself. Okay. And if you haven't grieved on something that happened, allow yourself to do so over the next couple of weeks. Take at least a day and make it a grief day. Very, very important. Right? But around here, most people around the Sound Healing Institute have no trouble grieving at all. I mean, there's a lot of emotions going on. Or myself. I mean, I had a breakup. I'm crying and crying. I still cry, and it's like I have no trouble grieving. It's really, and that can be kind of debilitating if it goes on for a really long time. It's like if you're sad for a really long time, it really kind of saps your energy. It's kind of like you're down, right? For a short time, you can feel just fine, and it's like a release, right? But if you're crying every day, a lot of the day, tell if it's affecting your life, then you're grieving too much or not grieving too much. You're ready to get above it, okay? Now, let me tell you a story about my friend Andrew that is one really powerful story to help get above grief. Years ago, I was in a class, and the first class, the teacher said, okay, everybody pair up and tell the other person something really deep about yourself. So I got hooked up with this woman. This was in Santa Cruz near here. And she started talking. She said, yesterday I was at Panther Beach just north of Santa Cruz. And I was out swimming in the water in the ocean with my best friend. And she got carried by the waves down into the rocks and was killed. And I'm like, you're kidding. What the hell are you doing here? And she said, well, this really weird thing happened where immediately I felt it was okay. And she said, the paramedics came. They were trying to resuscitate her. It was a big crowd, but she was gone. And this woman said that she went walking up to the road overlooking the beach, Highway 1. And there was a guy up there who had been playing guitar. And he said, what's going on down there? And she said, my friend just died. And she said that that guy played a song on the guitar that completely made it okay for her. I'm like, well, I don't have anything deep to tell about myself after that, right? So anyway, I went home that night, and I'm telling my roommates this story. And I had this one roommate named Andrew who was just a light worker. I mean, a light being, just a beautiful light worker who happened to play guitar. And Andrew goes, yeah, I never played a song like that in my life. It was my roommate that played this song the day before with this woman that I'd never met when her friend died. So that was like 30 years ago. And 3 years ago, Andrew was in Hawaii, riding a bicycle and got hit by a car and was killed. And my first thought was, it's okay. That's really kind of the acceptance part, right? It's okay. It's the wheel of life. I don't like the term acceptance because it's kind of related to like, it sucks, but I accept it. When you say it's okay, it's not that it sucks. It's just natural. It's perfectly natural, and it's okay. That's the place to get to. Even further. Oh, well, before I go even further, there's another one that one of the students said that was really cool. They said, you can also spend time talking to the person, talking to their higher self. Like, you know, especially if you, you know, didn't get to say what you wanted to say to them, or you, the last thing you said to them was really negative. You can talk to their higher self and say whatever you need to say for closure. That's a really good one. Also, here's the other big one. And that is to go to gratitude. That's the ultimate place, it seems, to end up afterwards, is in a place of gratitude. You know, I was thinking recently, it's like we're often bummed when someone leaves in a relationship or dies. But before that relationship, weren't bummed. We didn't have that relationship, and we weren't bummed. And we don't go, well, I got this relationship, this makes up for anything, any loss, when the truth is, it's completely balanced. Let me put it this way. When you look at a relationship that's gone as a bright, bright light on the timeline of your life, then it is not a bummer they're gone. It is incredible that you had them in your life. You have a choice too, which emotion to feel. Bummer, they're gone. Ugh. Or thank you for bringing them into my life. Lord, thank you. Oh my God. And that energy of thank you is like, instead of the bummer, which is like, oh, you could do the sadness. But after a while, that sadness, again, saps your energy a bit. It's great. You know, there's the movie Inside Out. And the little girl has all these emotions in her head that are animated characters, right? And she has this beautiful, joyful memory of like when she was younger with her parents back east playing hockey, right? And it's like wonderful. And then she has a bad experience here in San Francisco where she just moved to. And then she starts to see that previous memory of joyfulness as a bummer because she no longer has it. It really sucks that I don't have that playful, that joy anymore. And they talk about, oh, don't paint it blue. You know, you won't be able to unpaint it, which is later than she can. It actually comes back. But the point is, you have a choice as to whether a memory, you paint it blue or you go to gratitude and paint it yellow, right? Or with white light, right? Again, it's incredible that you had that relationship. It's incredible. It's incredible. That's the ultimate place. And when I talk about getting over grief, that's what I'm talking about. Going to that place of it's okay. It's okay. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that relationship. It's really beautiful when you find yourself getting sad and you realize, I don't know if I want to go there again. I don't know if I want to cry again. I've been crying for the last 10 years or 6 months or 2 weeks. And then you go, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to focus on the gratitude. I remember when my kitty died, I'm going to focus on my kitty gave me a high five when I put my hand up. We had her trained to do a high five, or I'd tap my nose and she'd give me a kiss. It was just so cool. I loved my kitty, right? And just resonate that love. Because in the quantum level, there's no time. They're still here. They're still in your body. Right? That joy has moved you further. I want to play a song that's about grief. It's about releasing grief. And so this song doesn't spend too much time in the grieving process. This song is more about moving to a empowered place of gratitude. So let's listen to Good Grief. It's on my Journey Through the Matrix CD. So, yes. Thank you. another thing that's just basic and really helpful is bringing people to a place of peace and stillness with sound, which, you know, if you know crystal balls, just playing a crystal ball and letting it fade out. You can also set an intention as well, but any music that brings you to a peaceful place, any sound that brings you to a place of stillness, that's really the whole point. We're not meant to be suffering. We're meant to be at peace or in bliss, right? So anything that gets you there is helpful. But also the other thing, this is the third thing that I was never mentioned earlier, and that is getting to a place where you love yourself or you're running universal love. Because if you can run universal love and bring in infinite, indescribable love into your heart, there's no pain, no matter who leaves, in what way. Because you are always filled with universal love, right? That's really key. But a lot of people don't know how to bring in universal love. We have a whole class, we just did it online today, about practicing opening the heart to universal love. I often bring it in through my thymus, down into my heart, or as some people that own radio stations say, you are love. You are love. And just be love, right? Here's, you know, this is what it would sound like when I'm bringing it. This is what it sounds like when I bring in universal love into my heart. Or I can bring it in through the top of my head. Goes down my spine. You open the crown to do that. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And then it feels wonderful no matter what. Now, for people that aren't good at running energy, you can just, I mean, ideally it's about loving yourself. But for most people, if you say just love yourself, they're like, what? What does that mean? How do you do it, right? Well, one simple way is to simply send the sound of love to your own heart, like this. Try it with me. Send the sound of love to your own heart. People are scared of doing sound. You can do it silently. Just, you know, and even just saying, I love you to yourself. I love you. I love you. So you're just running that self-love. We even had the three-year-olds at the Montessori school doing that, where I said, okay, you know, we practiced making the sound of love. Now send that love to your own heart. And they looked at me like, what? And then they did it. They looked down at their own little hearts and went, wee, wee. It was so cute and so cool. Because what a thing to teach someone at a young age, to be able to love yourself and get all the love you need, so that no matter what you lose, whether it's a candy bar, right, or your mom, it's all okay. It's all okay. It's amazing. Very cool. So that's really the third level. So let's end here. Let's see. Let's end with a song that's called Emotional Stress Relief. This song will bring you to a great place of peace. And then say a few words at the end here. So just if you have any grief, use this song to let it go and move to a higher place. Because letting go is all about just going to a higher place. Okay. Emotional stress relief. ESR. Thank you. May we all remain in a place of peace and stillness, ready for whatever's coming, totally whole, on our own, heart open. Hold that energy through the night, through the whole weekend, through the week, next week, through the month, next month, through the year, next year, through lifetimes. It's okay. We are love. Take care, and thanks for listening.